Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Be selected number one. Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft, and iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to This League Uncut. In the world of 24-hour NBA news, you snooze, you lose. Chris Haynes, it's go time. Mark Stein, it's showtime. Boom shakalaka. This League Uncut is underway and on fire. This should be a good one.
Welcome, friends, back again with another edition of This League Uncut. We are recording on the eve of the 2022-23 NBA Finals and honored to have a finals participant with us. Not exactly an on-the-court participant, but a key figure in helping the Denver Nuggets reach the NBA Finals for the first time in their NBA history. It is their GM, General Manager, Calvin Booth, who I once covered as a player many, many years ago. Calvin, welcome to the show. Chris and I, excited to have you here, and congrats on an NBA Finals appearance. You've had several days to think about it, but I'm guessing it still has to be surreal here on some level.
First of all, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be on as well. And yes, of course, it's still settling in, and I think it'll be surreal for a while.
So I'm sure you've seen the stat. This is Pat Riley's 19th NBA Finals as a player, coach, or executive. How are you going to neutralize Pat Riley in the GM matchup in this series?
Well, I think that one's Pat wins that one going away. So I'm not really gonna try to fight that battle, but hopefully the guys before can get it done.
Hey, CB, and Stein introducing you, talking about he used to cover you. There was a lot of minis he threw out there, talking about many years ago, man. When you look back at your career, does it seem like it was that long ago?
Oh man, I think he exaggerated a little bit, man. He tried to act like, you know, it's like back in like when World Be Free and those guys.
It's because I feel that old. I wasn't really referring to you.
Now, CB, I want to look. First of all, I think congratulations, like Stein said, man. What you've done in the first year of being the lead executive for the Denver Nuggets, you did a lot. And I want to break down some of the moves you made. But when Tim Connelly left to take the Timberwolves job, what was the objective? What was the directive from ownership? What did they tell you that they wanted you to do? I'm talking about not overall, but in this first year coming up, like what was the objective?
Well, Chris, man, I honestly don't think there was time for that. like, you know, everything was kind of abrupt and the transition was very quick. And I kind of took the bull by the proverbial horns. You know, Josh is busy managing the Arsenal and, you know, dealing with the Rams and, you know, the many, many sports franchises they have. And obviously it drew his attention big time when, you know, Tim's transition was happening. But like, you know, those first week or so, I just started reaching out to players and started to, like, you know, prepare for the draft and preparing as if, you know, like the job was going to be mine. But there was no, I don't think there was any determination at that point. I think there was eventually a press conference where Josh gave me a vote of confidence or whatever, but it was just basically to work. And I, you know, from our experience of playing in the playoffs that previous year, it's just a bunch of conclusions that I had drawn by watching that series that what we need to do going forward. And that's how I acted.
So when you talk about you went just straight to work, was there anxiety from your standpoint as far as just not knowing, like, okay, what is going to be my role in the short term? How were you able to process that and still do your job?
No, I mean, I wasn't thinking about that. It was too much going on to think about that. I was just worried about doing a job to the best of my ability and showing that I could handle the responsibilities of the job. So no real anxiety on my end. I mean, I've been playing. It's not like I have to hit a corner three late in the game with the shot clock running down or whatever. It's just like, you know, organizing, getting prepping for the draft and pitching your ideas to ownership.
Alvin, you know, Chris knows this because whenever your name comes up, I love to bring up the story that I was there on press row for what I think is the highlight of your playing career when you made the layup to send the Dallas Mavericks. You clinched a game 5 win in Utah 2001. The Mavs at that point had not won a playoff series for more than a decade. And in those days, five game first round series, teams didn't win a deciding game in Utah. Mavs were down huge going into the fourth quarter. I always call that shot the $34 million layup because you signed that big deal with Seattle in the following offseason. Compare that feeling of what it felt like to make such a big basket and such a memorable basket in Mavs history to being in the stands and watching your team clinch a spot in the NBA Finals as the guy who runs the front office.
I think they're comparable in that the you know, was on the forefront of a new era, so to speak. I know Mark had just taken over Dallas in the previous year or two, and he had made a lot of innovations and tried to make it really exciting around there and to actually see some of that pay off and get a first playoff series win and eventually lead to them getting to the finals a few years later and then eventually winning a championship like that. That was very exciting. And also, I feel like the same here. I felt like, you know, playing an integral role and trying to be a steward of this team and putting a team together that can make the finals, potentially win the finals. And then what's on the horizon, if, you know, once the season's over is an exciting thought.
I want to bring up the offseason, last offseason. As you said, you were really busy offseason, the draft. Then it's the summer. First priority is signing, getting Joker to that extension. And after that, there are some pieces that you brought to the table that are very, very effective pieces this season. But take me through the Joker process. What was that process like? Did you have to convince him at all? You know, because there is a new direction going on here with the Denver Nuggets. And you guys fell short prior. Were there any convincing, or was it just an easy process? You went out there, you got him. Like, can you just walk me through the Joker process real quick?
I think Joker's a very patient person. I think, you know, from my end, I did feel that there need to be some reassurances that we're going to be heading in the right direction, you know, with Joker in a circle. I felt like, you know, meeting with his brothers out here, talking to Excel, talking to him, I think was important. And I, you know, obviously getting the deal completed, because anytime you can get a guy of that magnitude to sign on the dotted line, it's a big deal.
Especially you being, you know, again, you're a few months in as the head exec at that point. And then from there, How do you build around Joker? Now, because you're trying to change the trajectory of the team. You're trying to get them to the point where you guys are now. And then you made some moves. You acquired Kentavious Caldwell-Pope from Washington, traded away Will Barton, who's been there for years. You brought on Bruce Brown, and really, he took it to another level. We didn't see, especially on the offensive end, we didn't see this in years prior. Just tell me, like, once you got Joker, what was in your mind as far as, okay, what we need to do to bring the right talent on the cast to make sure we get to a level that we haven't been before? How did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just big into studying past patterns of champions and the era I grew up in and played in. You know, I've watched the Bulls teams and the Lakers teams and played against them plenty of times. So the prevailing thought, well, I always like to joke and say that Joker's just a walking triangle offense. So just try to get that kind of personnel around him, guys that have positional size, they're smart, hopefully at least average defensively, best case, a little bit above the line defensively. And, you know, I mean, you have basically a 6-7 foot point guard that can play anywhere on the court. And so just getting versatile guys to go around that guy that can make shots and guard, I thought was important.
You obviously played with Dirk. So there have been, you know, sometimes Dirk gets mentioned in, but I think it's more like Jokic. More often you hear that he's, you know, a 7 foot, 250 plus pound Larry Bird. From your seat, who is he most like when we try to compare him to something we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think it's some kind of matchup of Bird, Dirk, and Duncan. I mean, obviously doesn't have the rim protection and stuff that Duncan have, but like I see a lot of Duncan like qualities in him.
CB, when you look at overall, with the different Nuggets have, you know, people, the narrative has been that everybody's been sleeping on the Nuggets. And you guys have just been winning all throughout the year. Mike Malone has some really, you know, interesting comments through the course of the playoffs about respecting this team. And but so you're not in the trenches, but I want to know just from your seat, did you feel like that as well? Did you feel like the Nuggets were an afterthought to everybody else? Were we dismissing or disrespecting, or is it a combination of other factors? Like, what are your thoughts behind the narrative of the Nuggets being slept on?
No, I think it's a two-sided coin, man. I think, like, on one side of it, it's like you have to earn respect and you have to win that first title. You have to make it to the point we're at right now. And I feel like, you know, Golden State did that at one point in time, right? You know, people probably wondered. They had a 28-game winning streak in the regular season, and then people still weren't sure whether they were good enough. And the next thing you know, they won the title. And like, oh, man, they actually won the title. And then, obviously, everybody knows what happened after that. So I think getting here and earning the respect by our actions and by getting some results is part of the process. But I do think, like, you know, honestly, like, you know, I think Coach is very colorful, and he likes to, like, you know, say things that'll catch, grab attention, you know, headliners. So I do think there's a little bit of that. But the one thing I will support him on is that, like, when you look at what our team did throughout the year and you compare it to the lack of, you know, accolades, so to speak, that our team got, it does seem disproportionately out of whack. You know, like, all right, is Joker, if he's not the MVP, right, if he's a second-team All-NBA guy and he's not the MVP, then shouldn't Aaron Gordon or Jamal or somebody made an All-Star game? Like, should KCP or Aaron got more push for All-Defense? Should our coach got a Coach of the Year? Like, it is a little interesting that we actually got no recognition through the awards process for the kind of season we have, which is, I mean, obviously Joker made second team All-NBA and was up there in the MVP voting. But, like, outside of that, pretty much nothing.
And you think about it, usually the protocol, not protocol, but it looks like it's an established protocol over the years that if a team has the number one seed going to the break, typically they get multiple All-Star players from the same team in that game. And it was just Joker. And, you know, there was a case made, is it Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray? So I guess you felt that way as well at that time.
Yeah, definitely. I felt like, both of those guys deserved, and obviously we weren't going to get three All-Stars, but I would have been thrilled if either one of those guys would have gotten into the game. And I know Aaron was playing out of his mind. I thought up until that point it was comparable or maybe even better than what Andrew Wiggins had done the year before, and he made the All-Star game. So, you know, yeah, obviously have Nuggets colored glasses on in that one. It's always, there's so many good players in the league. It was such a great year of performances that these award things are hard. But like, but the kind, I always thought with great team success, you know, the individual accolades came after that, and didn't necessarily happen this year for our team, which is fine.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Be selected number one. Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
So I'll be honest, I was a pretty staunch Nuggets advocate for the bulk of the year. I thought the fact that you guys had continuity, so many teams in the West did not, I thought that was a real advantage for you. But then there was the 7-10 finish, and it wasn't, you guys were leading the West forever. It was clear you were going to be the number one seed. But I guess in the regular season, the Nuggets didn't run through the proverbial tape maybe as convincingly as it could have been. How concerned were you during that 7-10 finish to the regular season that something had gone off track?
Honestly, I probably would have been more concerned if we looked like the 2006 Spurs or something like that, and we were 18-0, because that hadn't been who we had been. We had been a team that would ebb and flow, and sometimes we play well, and sometimes we didn't play well, and we obviously got bored at the end of the season and weren't playing our highest level basketball. I never really doubted that when it came time to step up in the playoffs that we would do that. So, Kentavious had a rough end of the season, but I think historically, if you look at his numbers, he always does that, and then he'll bounce back and start making shots in the playoffs. So I think I wasn't as concerned as everybody else was, and then outside of our locker room and organization.
I mean, there was so much talk in the second half of the season that these playoffs are going to be a referendum on the Joker, his two MVPs, even though the MVP is a regular season award. It's like, why are we even going there, but he seems completely unbothered by this supposed pressure that these playoffs carried. What do you see? I mean, how much is he even listening to us?
Well, I think he typically tries to block all of it out, but this year was just kind of like unavoidable, especially after a regular season game in Philly. And, you know, and then the racing came into it. And I think it was just, I think it was a little bit of a distraction for our team and probably a little bit, you know, I took a little bit of a positive energy and mojo away from our team, just having to deal with that whole narrative.
Okay. That's interesting. CB, when you look at the landscape of the league, how teams are built, if you look at the Nuggets, it's a pretty well-rounded team from top to bottom. You know, you guys are pretty sturdy there. You know, it used to be, well, I would say for a period there, teams would try to go after two superstars, sometimes three. And on occasion, we had one where you had four. But what do you think the league is headed towards? You know, that with the new CBA that's coming in, it looks like it's going to make it harder to have that many type of players on the team. But what is the ideal, when you talk to other executives out there, or even just from your perspective, what's the ideal way to build a team? Is it even efficient? Is it even worth it to go after multiple superstars at one time? What's your take?
I just think it's just kind of a cop-out, but I don't think there's one singular answer. It depends on where the team is at in their development arc. It depends on who your superstar is. I mean, in our case, we have stars. Michael Porter Jr. is like, you know, the best player in this class for the longest time. He's had a lot of injuries and stuff. And we paid him a max contract, and I felt like he's played up to that this year. You know, obviously you have Jamal and Joker. I think the thing is just that our best players are easy to play with and they have well-rounded games. So it's easy to like identify guys that would fit with them. And there's a lot of kind of guys that can fit with them. So I think that's why our team seems like it's so seamless in that way. The credit to Joker, Jamal, I mean, the job Malone does, everybody in that starting five, which I think is the best starting five in basketball. Mm.
I can't resist asking this because I'm just curious, like how often in a staff meeting will you guys all just look at each other and say, you believe that Jokic slipped all the way to number 41 in the draft? Like, obviously that's not new news. Obviously his career arc has been well chronicled at this point, but I just, whenever I hear that number, I still can't get over it. 41st pick in the draft to 2-time MVP.
Hey, Stein, hold on. Before CB answer that, I saw on social media a few days ago that when Joker was actually selected, it was during commercial break. So you didn't really get to see Joker hear his name called. But go ahead, CB, go ahead.
No, I mean, I think for me, it's all going back to the Hoop Summit. And I was there amongst a lot of executives, and he was doing all the same stuff he's doing now. And I felt like it was kind of like funny. It was kind of like a joke. Oh, man, like, look, oh, he's kind of doing it or whatever. And I always remember, like, I felt like I think Capella was in that Hoop Summit. And I know coming into that, he was supposed to be like a lottery pick. And, you know, his stock dropped a little bit because of, you know, what happened at Hoop Summit. But, like, looking back on it, it's like really no shame in being outplayed by Nikola Jokic, right? Like, but nobody... You know, well, obviously the guys in Denver valued him and they got him to stay in the draft. But like to your point, Mark, nobody like said, oh, man, I believe in this coast to coast layup or, you know, him throwing this crazy pass or his 3-point shot. So much so that I think he's a first rounder. Right. You know, very few people had that kind of foresight.
Give me your initial thoughts now that he's in the league and now that you're there with the Nuggets, your initial thought on his ceiling at this time, because we knew he was solid, but to see him become this player, I couldn't say I saw it.
It's kind of interesting, man, because I, you know, came from Minnesota and thought the world of Andrew Wiggins and Karl Towns upside. Thought those guys were really talented, were going to do great things in the league. But like having said that, watching one open gym with Joker, I was like, man, he's better than those guys.
One open gym.
It was pretty impactful to like think that because I didn't before watching him in person those couple of days, I wouldn't have thought that, like, right, you know, because definitely coming from the Wolves and having the, you know, the Timberwolves, like, glasses on, you know, thinking those guys are going to be the eventual, you know, duo that would do great things in the Western Conference, and seeing this guy that was in Denver, that was like, man, this guy's better than both those guys. And I think that was just starting to, at the beginning of people recognizing how good Joker was.
You've been at this for a while now. What point in your playing career did you think, you know what, when I'm done, I want to go the front office route? This is being part of building teams is what I want to do.
I mean, I became interested. I think, you know, as a player, when the process is when you come out of college, you start watching college a lot the first year, maybe even to the second year, because you still know a lot of guys. But then you get to that point in your career where you watch NBA basketball, or you're playing it, or you're practicing, and you kind of get away from it. And so, having said that, around the 2008 draft, you know, I think I was playing in 2007-08. I was actually in Washington, I believe. So, no, or I could have been, no, Philly. I was in Philly. So I remember watching that draft and spent a lot of time scouting and preparing. It was a great draft to start off with, man. There's so many great players in that draft. I wonder if I would have been as interested in scouting if I'd come in a barren draft, right? But, like, you know, you're watching Derrick Rose and Beasley and Westbrook and Mayo and Kevin Love and all these guys. And, you know, I thought it was a very fascinating thing to try to figure out who would translate and who wouldn't.
When you think about this matchup now with the Miami Heat, and everybody, I ain't gonna say everybody, but for the most part, you guys are considered the favorites. But also you had a lot of downtime. And you're going into this series against the Heat. What is the concern?
Well, I mean, the Miami Heat and their culture and what they built, what they created, and the players they have over there, the coach they have over there, and the belief they have in themselves, you have to respect that, right? If you don't have the proper amount of respect for that, then you're probably in a bad way.
I think we're contractually obligated to bring up rest versus rust, or else they're going to take away our credentials, because obviously you guys, it will have been 9 full days without a playoff game by the time game one tips off Thursday night. What's been the approach in-house for you guys in dealing with such an extended break?
I think the coaches and players have done a fantastic job of, like, picking the spots when to work and when to take breaks, and you know, trying to do the best you can to stay ready and rested headed into tomorrow's game.
What's your game watching routine? How hard is it for you to just, having played, how hard is it for you to just sit there and watch?
It's not hard at all. I think, like, you know, when the series get tight and stuff like that, it becomes a lot harder. I remember being in the bubble and, you know, the playoffs started and we were playing Utah. And the first couple games or so, I'm like, oh man, this is about to be the playoffs. It's like, no energy or tension or anything in here. And then by the time it was game 7, there might as well have been like 100,000 people in that empty arena in Orlando. So I think, you know, when the series gets tighter and, you know, the end of games and fourth quarters, especially if the closer you come to approaching the end of the series or conclusion of it, and that's when the most tension and pressure comes. But other than that, I think it's pretty, it's just, I try to enjoy the game and watch it.
And my last thing, CB, I want to ask you about your own personal goals. We talked about your team and how some of them may feel slighted by the lack of awards recognition. But I brought up what you did in that short time frame this past year for a reason. I think you definitely should be up there when you're talking about Executive of the Year awards. I know you don't, you know, probably don't want to get too much into it, but man, just looking at everything you've done, you made a trade as well too. You know, the Nuggets had some adversity as well, but everything you've done, you've righted the ship and you put pieces together and they fit. And I don't think the Nuggets have gotten a lot of recognition from that standpoint. So is that something, like, when you're talking about your peers in the game, as far as the general manager, the president of basketball operations in this league, the personnel, do you look at that and say, like, man, I want to be mentioned amongst the top, especially this year. Is that something that you gravitate towards?
I mean, you see some of the guys that have been around for a long time, you know, and had a lot of success. And I think, you know, following their path and having a career and having some stability and having the organization improve under your watch is much more important to me than an award. If I'm correct, I don't think Sam Presti's ever won that award. Like, you know, he's definitely been an executive of the year before, right? And so I don't put a lot of stock in that particular award. You know, I'll give a lot to have Sam's career at this point. You know, I think he's had a great career in the business. And so if he hasn't had the award, who am I to win the award, right? You know, well, that's the way I kind of look at it.
Well, I'm not going to say that's a cop-out, but I get your point. You definitely deserve to get your recognition, brother. And I wanted to make sure I'm glad you came on, agreed to come on, because I wanted to definitely highlight what you've done behind the scenes and putting together a roster that, you know, this is championship building right here. And I know it's not, somebody's at my door, but I know the road is not done. You still got to get the Miami Heat coming up. So, CB, I appreciate you taking the time, brother. Best of luck to you and the rest of the way. And I'll see you down there at some point during the finals. I'll definitely see you in Miami on South Beach.
Sounds good, man. I'll see you down there.
Yes, sir. Our thanks to Calvin Booth for joining us on the eve of the NBA Finals. That will do it for this edition of This League Uncut. Chris and I back soon with more on the finals, more on the coaching carousel, more on everything else happening around this league. As always, please, until next time, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. Talk soon, everybody.
And that'll do it for us. See you next time. This League Uncut is an iHeartRadio production. Boom shakalaka! Chris Haynes and Mark Stein!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.